In our breakout and best-selling book, Looking for Angels, A Guide to Understanding and Connecting with Angels, Dr. Scott Guerin and I share how you can communicate with angels, understand signs from the universe and these celestial beings, feel at peace knowing you are always connected to Source, and much more. Get your copy today at lookingforangelsbook.com, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local bookstore. And now you can even get the audio version narrated by me and Scott through Amazon, Audible, and iTunes. You are listening to A Psychic Story, a podcast that shares behind-the-scenes insights of people who lead supernatural lives among the ordinary. And I'm your host, Nicole Bigley. Join me every Wednesday as I dispel the myths behind magic and lore. Welcome to A Psychic Story. Mysticism. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of A Psychic Story. Today, I have Christina C. Thina. She is the owner of the Mind Body Medium, and she joins us today to talk about psychic development for children and how adults can support them through their spiritual experiences and evolution. And I'm just really excited to talk about this because I get a lot of messages from you in particular, the listeners, about, you know, I have kids or I have grandchildren or I'm a teacher. How do I help, you know, children that are experiencing these things, especially with when they're at such a young age. So super excited to talk to her and get her perspective. So welcome to the show, C.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here, Nicole.
Well, thank you again for joining. And before we get into all of the other tips and insights that you have, maybe for parents and or adults with children that have these psychic abilities or spiritual abilities, I'd love to hear from you about just your experiences as a whole and what got you on the path that you're on today.
For sure. I was a psychic kid, and I had my first really kind of memorable paranormal experience when I was about 6 or 7 years old. My dad had just changed out the light bulb in my chandelier earlier that day. And when I would lay down in bed, if I looked straight up, the chandelier was right over my head. So that night I woke up and I saw a figure that was completely made of light in the corner of my bedroom. I guess I wasn't frightened because I recall thinking, oh, that's my guardian angel, before rolling over and kind of just going back to sleep. When I woke up the next day, though, I saw this chandelier on my floor in the corner where I remembered that the angel was standing the night before. And we had all hardwood floors, by the way, so that chandelier should have, one, fallen on my head, and two, it should have smashed to bits after falling from our high ceilings onto the wood floor. But it was right there in the corner, and it was actually right side up, like it had been carefully placed there. After that, I began experiencing premonitions, and I had intense deja vu. I'd wake up and tell my mom, I think such and such is going to happen. And 2 or 3 weeks later, it would happen exactly as I had described it to her. I'm pretty positive it freaked her out. I also remember a particular experience when I really began recognizing seeing spirits or ghosts. And I would see spirits and still do see them just as clearly as you or I can see one another if we're looking at one another.
So like a fully embodied person almost?
Fully embodied. Wow. I didn't realize that they were not real. And one day I was in my grandparents' house and I had seen my great-grandmother's picture, and she suddenly just appeared to me in the hallway and looked just like she would if she were alive. And I just said hi to her. And, you know, I was a shy little kid and I didn't know who this lady was. So I went to my grandmother later and I said, hey, I think that was great-grandmother Nettie. And she said, she just looked at me and she said, yes, what you're seeing is real, and she does come to visit. But you must not, under any circumstances, ever tell anyone what you've seen.
Right?
So, yeah.
That's what so many like people, my grandparents and everything else, like growing up, I remember that too. Not that I saw bodies like or full embodiment like you do, but yeah, I think it's unfortunate, I guess. Right?
It really was. Yeah. Well, I think in her culture, because she was Greek. So I think that she thought it would invite the evil eye. Mm. Like, I remember mm-hmm. even growing up being taught that if I even said or knew my guardian angel's name, that would invite the evil eye. And so, again, my family was super religious and attended church, like, at least, you know, 3 times a week, every time the doors were open. And I read the Bible every day and prayed and did all the things. But it was instilled in me to just not ever talk about what I saw or heard or experienced insofar as the paranormal goes. So eventually, as a teenager, I ended up becoming very, very sick. I was diagnosed with a rare autoimmune condition. And, but even through all of that, I was an all-A student. I had that, you know, perfectionism thing that so many of us struggle with. I played piano and I still had a decent social life. But in college, I was so focused on school and work and church and stuff. I really didn't have a lot of extra energy to spare to those paranormal experiences that I was constantly having as a kid. Mm-hmm. But I would still have intense deja vu and occasionally premonitions. Then after college, I got married, and that's kind of when the ghosts started really coming around, and they started talking, and you know, I had all of these experiences. And it just kind of went from there. I began searching for answers, looking for other people who had kind of similar experiences to me, and that's when this journey really sort of began.
Wow, amazing. Well, I have a lot of questions. One of the first ones is, how would you experience deja vu, like if you could describe it, and what do you think it was or is?
So one of my guardian angel is Archangel Celestine. And she has come to me as kind of the archangel of prophecy or premonition. And so I really kind of blame her, to be honest.
Okay, okay. I'm actually not familiar with her. So she's an archangel?
She's an archangel. Yeah. Okay. Archangel Celestine. And she, yeah. So she, I blame her for all of these premonitions that I was having as a kid. But I would have things like, one that really stands out, when I was about 9 or 10, I had what I thought was a dream. And I don't know if it was a dream or if it was something I was, you know, experiencing while I was just really relaxed in kind of a theta state, because that's when information comes through also. But I had this dream that my neighbors, my friend who I played with, you know, little girl next door, that her mom was going to pass away. And it freaked me out. So I went straight to my mom and I said, Mom, Miss so-and-so is going to die. And I'm just, it was very, very upsetting as a child. Well, 2 weeks later, she indeed passed away. And so that was kind of I think that really did freak out my mom at that mm-hmm. point.
Yeah.
But I would have things like that. And I would have little things too. Like if we were going on a field trip or something, I would know exactly what was going to happen as it was happening. And you know, or before it happened. And then as it was happening, it was like, okay, I know what the next thing is, what you're going to say and what you're going to respond. And, you know, looking at my friends. And so things like that happened all the time.
Well, the reason I ask is I don't get deja vu as much now, but I did get it quite a bit when I was younger. And deja vu to me was like a feeling of just either you got chills or just this moment of clarity and consciousness where you're very aware of your surroundings and you're like, I've been here before. I've done this before. And so I asked my guides and angels at the time, again, I was just a wee little one, but I was like, what is this? What is it? What is it like? Because I would also ask my parents, like, of course, there was a term and is a term deja vu, but it's hard to describe it, right? And what my guides and angels told me was that it was, or maybe it was my higher self, was that it's a moment in time, because, you know, really time doesn't exist, but when our consciousness catches up with all of our other selves, right? So it's like everything kind of merges. And so that is just, a moment of awareness and consciousness and clarity that we just are like, boom. So yes, we feel like we've been there before, but in reality, it's because we are there, which to me, and I don't know if that's like the same philosophy that you had, because you seem to be describing more about like premonitions, and which is also another thing. So maybe from an intuitive standpoint, you've already been there because it's happening. I don't know. That's why I asked the question.
I love that explanation, Nicole, because I agree. I think it is. It's just that moment of clarity. And maybe because I don't experience it nearly as much as I used to either. And maybe that's because life is cluttered, our schedules and our brains, and we have all these things to think about now. Whereas when we're kids, we're just a lot more open. And so, but yeah, I could get on board with that explanation. That sounds really good. That sounds cool.
I'm just always curious. I love to hear what other people think, because my definition or the way I would explain things, it's not the Bible, right? It's just more the best way I feel like I can explain it. And so I love asking everybody else. Okay. So other question. So when you got married, did your significant other know about your abilities? Or was this because you mentioned like, then we got married and then all of this other stuff started happening. So were they then like, I married a crazy person? Like, what was that like?
Well, I'm actually divorced now.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. It's good. What ended up happening was he did know, but I did feel crazy. But the crazy making kind of was what I got along for the ride for that experience and that marriage too. But it was really interesting, because although my partners, my family and my friends were very aware that I was experiencing things and that I had things, it was still just keep it hush hush. And I think at that time too, in my life, I was around a lot of people who were very religious and were kind of, and not to say that that's a terrible thing at all. It kind of was interesting, because I feel like for me, religion was a breeding ground for these experiences. And it's unfortunate that psychic phenomena and religion can't reconcile, and that it's not seen as acceptable or normal. So yeah, so it was more of a tug of war, because even though I was being validated in my experiences, I was told to keep it quiet, which is kind of, you know, hypocritical to me, because we're told not to put our light under a bushel, you know, to take a biblical kind of phrase there, but to kind of shine our light. And so that was kind of where I was experiencing some disconnect. And when I began to, again, go outside of that box and search for answers.
Well, this is just my opinion, but I feel like with religion, and I'm just going to say religion blanket, like very generic.
Right.
I'm not going to say one religion in particular, but ultimately the way that I feel is like, and when it first started out, you can say what it was, whatever religion you want. To me, it was really from a soul perspective. And it was probably because people were experiencing more of the mystical, the metaphysical, that soul experience and journey. And then when it got more mainstream and it's to the masses, it just got kind of obliterated. And we lost a lot, from my perspective, again, the heart of what it is. And so that sounds like what you're kind of, and when you say the breeding ground, because it's like, I think when we're intuitive and we know that we're light workers, we can tap into the energy of what a religion really was meant to be, to create community, to create a sense of being together and understanding, and also openness to say, I feel this way, or I'm experiencing these things. But then the opposite in a lot of ways has happened.
Right. And I think that it boils down to, you know, through the years, it's gotten watered down, right? And so, like you said, initially, I think it was, again, community and a place to share experiences and to a place to experience things. And that's gotten watered down, and what's become, you know, socially acceptable doesn't necessarily match up.
Yeah. And that's not all religions. It's not all churches and experiences.
Of course.
But I do think, going back to what you're saying, and I love to hear about your family and your grandmother and like the evil eye, because there was a lot of, I don't want to say like fear, but I guess fear about the unknown. And if you state it and it comes and it crystallizes and it brings it into being, then you're giving it power. So let's just not talk about it. Let's just not touch it. And now, hopefully, especially, and I'd love to hear more about you and your journey with that. And I'm imagining that's probably how you're able to now help adults and children with that experience. Is that's not the case. Like, here's how we can work through it together, and here's how you can become empowered through that.
Right. Well, and that's exactly what it's about. It's about facing that fear, because there is a lot of fear. In fact, when I started looking, kind of exploring things kind of outside of what I was taught and those core beliefs, right? That programming, so to speak, astrology felt really scary. You know, just looking at all my gosh.
It's the devil.
It was so frightening. Yeah. And there was a lot of shame and a lot of guilt around that. And so I kind of had to learn how to break outside of that. But again, going back to that what was originally intended, right? In those contexts, And even with my, say, my grandmother, okay, who was a very, very religious person, she has since passed. She passed several years ago. And she comes to me all the time now. And she's like, you can see me and we're talking and I was wrong. And
you know. I'm on the other side now. So I can tell you I was wrong.
Yeah,
it's all good.
I can see it now. It's all good. Yeah. And you're doing a good work. So yeah, that was, it's kind of funny. But actually, while I was still struggling, I really ended up, I was so sick that I was no longer able to work. I was actually in a wheelchair for about 3 years and really mostly bedbound. I had no energy. I was going from doctor to doctor searching for relief from just this constant pain that I was in. And I've since learned that when we aren't able to express what we've experienced, okay, whether it's trauma or paranormal experiences, you know, things like that, then it gets trapped in the body. And disease is dis-ease, right? We're not comfortable in our body and it manifests. And so that's kind of where I was. I had no energy, you know, I wasn't feeling supported. And doctors actually gave me at one point 6 months to live. They said I would never walk again, that I had 6 months to live. I needed to go ahead and just figure it all out, you know, get my affairs in order and prepare to die. And that was really the turning point. It was my rock bottom. I had been through so much with my mental and physical health. I'd lost everything. But at that point, there was a time when I had a near-death experience. And I went into the heavenly realm and I met Jesus. And it was at that point that He basically told me.
Wait. So what was it like? So before you get to the Jesus part, like what was that? Okay. Cause this is, I mean, first of all, I'm so sorry you experienced it, but also, wow, like that's amazing. So when you had this near-death experience, what was that? What were you just, what was it like first? And then get to Jesus. Cause I do love him.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you the circumstances around it first. Mm-hmm. So I had been given a medication and it had been written incorrectly. And so I was given the wrong dosage and it was way too much. So I ended up overdosing.
Oh my gosh.
And as soon as I started feeling a little wonky, I went and looked at the bottle and I went, oh my gosh, this is way too much. I called my neighbors. I said, I think something's happened. Can you please call 911? And I didn't breathe for 5 minutes. Straight. And so that was kind of the circumstances. So I remember though, leaving my body and looking down at myself. And by the way, that wasn't unusual for me because I do
astral travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't so unusual. But what was unusual was suddenly, boom, I was in the heavenly realm and I was face to face with Jesus. And when I tell you, the colors were different, the atmosphere was lighter, it was unlike anything we have to compare here. And it was absolutely beautiful. I did not want to leave. I was ready to stay. I wanted to stay. And Jesus looked at me and said, you have to go back. And I was like, no. But it felt like years, but it was only, you know, a few minutes.
You feel like you're home.
I was home.
You're home. You're just connected back to source. I mean, I haven't had a near-death experience that I know of in this lifetime, but I remember when I first came here before I first came here, and it was the same feeling. I didn't necessarily want to leave, and it was just being able to kind of connect back to that moment allows me to realize how connected we all are.
Yeah. And I think for years, I had been experiencing homesickness. I had been homesick and Same. It wasn't until that moment. And I was like, okay, I'm finally here. And it was, I can't wait to go back. Okay. I'm not in a hurry to get back, right. But I'm here to say, like, I love being in that place.
There's something amazing that waits for us on the other side. All right. So now Jesus, what did he have to say other than you can't stay here?
you can't stay here. But also you have a purpose. And it is up to you to heal yourself. And that was kind of shocking for me. I was not really prepared to hear that, obviously. And so when I came back, I started really getting into alternative therapies. And by the way, the coming back was really depressing. I really struggled for the first couple of weeks after I came back into my body with, again, that an immense sense of homesickness.
Well, because I'd imagine it wasn't just that. It was also, well, there was the homesickness. You were connected back to source. So you knew how you could feel, right? Mm-hmm. And then also you were still experiencing the physical pain and all of the sickness that you had had previously. So then it just on top of it.
I was a little pissed. Yeah, I was a little pissed off. Like,
I don't blame you.
Yeah. It wasn't fair, but it actually turned out to be amazing because I just kind of did a deep dive into mind-body medicine. I began to meditate. I started journaling my dreams. I began looking into Reiki. I became a Reiki practitioner. I researched, you know, the astrology and psychic phenomena and all of that. And I healed myself. I didn't do anything crazy, but I was very committed. And I healed myself with the help of spirits. I would call in my angels and I would literally imagine them blasting cancer cells with the white light of love. I would imagine them, you know, just lifting up these burdens that I had felt on my shoulders. I had back pain, whatever, what have you. And I would just imagine them lifting it all up. And so now if something happens and I'm in pain, I'll immediately go to them and say, hey, I need your help. Can you show me what needs to be done and can you do it? And they will. I went from, again, being in a wheelchair and bedbound with multiple diagnoses of all the things to being completely medication free and really, really living my best life. It's been amazing. And now I'm here to really share that knowledge with others and help them. And that includes psychic kids, because here's the thing. I think that had I had the support from my family and friends when I was growing up and I had not been condemned or hushed, you know, for my experiences, I would not have necessarily had to go through all of that pain and suffering. However, having said that, I also believe that I signed up for these life lessons.
Right. Unfortunately, yeah.
Well, but also fortunately, because I am grateful. I mean, if I can help heal a family or accept, you know, have a family accept the phenomena that's happening to them or to their child and kind of spare someone the things that I had to go through, then it's worth it.
How long did it take you to heal yourself from when you came back to, you know, I know it's, we all technically are still healing ourselves real time, but from when you had the, you know, to the depth of your illness to then you feeling fully yourself?
Right. Well, it, you know, it happens in stages and I am still healing parts of myself. Okay. You know, emotional, physical, all the things, but it really kind of got fast tracked, I think, after that experience. And again, deep diving and having to teach myself because I didn't have a mentor. I didn't have someone I could go to and say, hey, how does this work? I did all my own research. I even, you know, I went back to school for a master's degree in mind-body medicine. I was just so determined to figure it out. And from that time, I mean, at that time I had a cancer diagnosis. I had, you know, and I didn't go for chemo. I didn't go for any of those things. I just literally dove into all of this. And a year and a half after that, I was cancer-free.
Wow. Congratulations.
And by that point, the doctors, thank you, but they had given me 6 months to live at that point, you know, and so I completely reversed that diagnosis. And then the pain, again, I think it took habit, you know, so when we create habits, then eventually we create beliefs, which then eventually creates our reality. And so it wasn't an overnight fix at all, by any means. I mean, it probably took six months before I felt like I could walk down to the end of the driveway without, you know, a cane or a walker or my wheelchair. And then a year after that, I was on the trails, you know, hiking it up, walking 6 and 7 miles at a time. So,
well, again, congratulations. I was just curious about that. So now let's get into psychic kids. You said that your experience was great in the sense that it enabled you and allowed you to, you know, create a path forward to how you can help others. What are some things that you want to share or would like to share?
So this is something that I'm super, super passionate about. I'm not a parent myself, but I think that kind of gives me an edge so that when parents and kids come to me, I can kind of see a perspective that they don't necessarily get to see. Obviously, I was a psychic kid, and so I can come out from that point of view as well. But I think parents are really the first line of defense when it comes to their kids. And I think that's where any of this needs to be begun. So if any of your listeners are parents and they're like, I think my kid might be psychic, as long as they're on board and are willing to help develop their kids' gifts, and that's like anything. If your child likes sports, you enroll them in soccer or tennis lessons. If they love music, you let them play piano or guitar, whatever. And it's the same with psychic development. I'm actually developing a program right now to help equip psychic kids and their parents with one of my besties and her daughter, both of whom are also psychic. But for now, I think that there are several things that parents can do to kind of help their psychic kids. First, I think that it's really, really important to rule out anything that could be potentially harmful for a child. So for example, if a kid suddenly begins experiencing perceptual disturbances, so that would be like visual hallucinations or hearing voices, then that does need to be investigated to rule out anything that could be potentially, again, harmful. God forbid somebody has a brain tumor and is experiencing, you know, all this weird stuff. So parents and guardians have to do their due diligence. But here's where it gets a little tricky. There's not a framework for psychologists and clinicians to distinguish which issues are kind of a pathological issue versus what's paranormal or psychic. It can be really difficult. I have, however, had the great honor and pleasure to meet a couple of clinicians who are psychic themselves and who are open to helping psychic kids. So that would be a first step, is ruling out the possibility of kind of a mental or emotional issue. And by the way, having said that, I'm not ruling out that anyone is not psychic because they do have emotional or psychological issues, because good grief, don't we all?
Yeah.
So, you know, but that's something that does need to be, again, doing due diligence.
Quick question on that. I think that at least from when I was growing up, there wasn't a lot of options out there when, you know, if my parents were going to want to look for somebody that was a clinician or a practitioner that said, all right, they're in the health and wellness space. Nowadays, though, that's very different. You can look at and see psychiatrists, psychologists, other medical practitioners that will say, I'm more in the health and wellness space, or I'm more in the spiritual space, metaphysical space, which is great. And I guess I don't have the answer, but I'm just kind of posing the question to see if you do. Are there other things that people can look for? So like what types of practitioners in the medical field potentially that we would look for? Like, I don't know if you have any tips there.
I don't know that I have the answer to that question, because it's been difficult for me to locate people who are open, because you have the people who are in the holistic field and who approach kind of psychology from a mind-body standpoint, which I think is, obviously I'm on board for that. That's my thing. However, but it's kind of hard. Again, people are kind of in their boxes and it's hard for them to get outside of that.
So I'll do a call out then to the listeners. If you work with somebody who is a practitioner and a doctor that specializes in this field, meaning they do the mind body and or what have you, please let me know. Or if you are a practitioner and you would like it, so that if somebody reaches out to C or myself, we can share those resources with you. I think that would be super helpful.
Absolutely. And I do know of a couple of people who are, like I said, psychic and are also psychologists. So that would be, I'd be more than happy to share that information with your listeners if they reach out to me as well. So yeah, that's a great question as far as, because it's hard to find people who are open and on board.
Yeah, because I just know, like, when I was struggling, when I got older, I didn't want to actually say to my doctor, you know, who I was talking to, well, I'm experiencing these things. I'm sensing angels. I'm feeling these things. And so then it's a slippery slope. And I'm just saying as an adult, I'm not, obviously as a child, then it's even harder, because you're looking to your parents or your adult, the person who's taking care of you is helping you navigate that. So it's hard because you don't want to also be misdiagnosed, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so I bottled that up. I bottled it up to the point where I was like, all right, I at least now know what's going on. And I finally found people that could help me in the medical world and field. But again, that was as an adult. So I can only imagine when you're a parent and trying to help your child with that too.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of the biggest things that anybody can do for anyone is to say, I believe you. Mm-hmm. You know, I had, it's funny because I had people who believed me as a child, but they did nothing to support me, right? Mm-hmm. So finding that balance of having both of those things, it's really powerful. I even had a similar experience to you where I went to a doctor and said, look, I'm seeing things and I've always seen things and was told, yeah, that's actually not that abnormal, but also again, you shouldn't talk about it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, kind of moving outside that box and finding people who are willing to talk about it and work through it and move through. But I think belief goes a long ways. If a child comes to mom or dad and says, hey, look, I'm afraid of the dark because they've seen or heard creepy things, then, you know, I think that first line of defense is always the parent. And if a parent says, hey, I believe you, that's huge. That's huge.
Okay, so what are some other things?
So some other things I think parents can teach their kids is, learn how to do is to create boundaries with spirits and protect themselves spiritually or psychically. So one of the things that I experienced a lot when I was a kid, I would see things in the dark, you know, and I would get scared or I would have spirits wake me up in the middle of the night, just wanting to talk. And obviously, you know, you need your sleep. It doesn't make for a fun kid the next day. I was kind of cranky. And so one of the things they could do is, again, teach boundaries and how to protect yourself spiritually. So I'm going to give an example. One of my friend's daughter began seeing shadows in her closet when she was 11. She was absolutely terrified. And again, started having that insomnia because she wasn't able to be alone in her bedroom at nighttime. And was just really scared. So she eventually described what she was seeing, and her mom was able to rule out any kind of illness. She did her due diligence. And then she had her take some psychic development classes. And this kid became so confident and curious. And the curiosity is what got me, because she told me that she even interviewed one of the ghosts that she had encountered. And so then that fear, her initial fear, was then replaced by a sense of control. Okay, so I asked her at one point what she would tell other kids if they were experiencing scary things like she had when she was 11. Now she's 15 now, but she told me the coolest thing, and I think your listeners are going to enjoy this, because she said what she would tell a scared kid to do is to use their imagination and to call in their favorite superhero, okay, or their favorite angel or what have you, and ask them to build a fortress or a bubble around their body, their bedroom, and their house. And then once that fortress or bubble is built, then they imagine this powerful light that feels like love and just push it out all the way to the edges of their space. And I thought that was just so fantastic. I think intention plays a huge part in how we protect our space and how we create boundaries. And I think that when kids are able to call in their angels or their favorite superhero, whether, you know, whatever they believe in and however it helps them conceptualize, then they can learn to create boundaries and protect their own personal space. So that's one thing I think parents can do with their kids. You know, I believe you, do due diligence, and then learn to create boundaries.
I love that. I love how she interviewed the ghost too.
I thought that was so cool too.
She's like, I sat down and had a conversation. And
she did. She sat there with a notebook and pen and asked him all sorts of questions, asked his name, when he was born, all the things. And I think she ended up Googling him and found him later, found his obituary.
Wow. I love her advice, because that's true. It's like, it's to empower them, right? And also to create that, like you said, intention in the energetic space of it's not just a belief and a knowing and an empowerment. It's also grounding the space energetically in protection and love. Love's the biggest part.
Exactly.
And then also, I think there's a bunch, and I'm not a parent myself, but I have nephews, and it's little things about, you know, you can give them crystals, you can give them worry dolls. I remember having worry dolls growing up. My grandmother gave me those. Like, there's little things. If they're not, if imagination is the only thing that they can't quite grasp, giving them something in particular to also feel like they're, I love the word you use, control, like a little bit more in control and empowered to help them with that.
Yeah, absolutely. I worked with a kid once who did exactly that, took a stuffed animal and then basically told the stuffed animal that you're my protector and you're going to, as long as I have you with me, then nothing can bother me. Okay. It came to true. You know, it came true.
It's like a talisman.
It is. It is. And it's protection. And I've known to, you know, people sleep with crystals under their pillows. And again, it's just having that physical representation or object to kind of ground that belief and secure that belief that you are protected.
I love that. Any other tips for parents of kids and how to like support them?
So obviously, just the validation is so important. I think, like you said, when kids don't when they're experiencing in that place of fear, they could feel very lonely and powerless and kind of crazy. So parents, I think, can help with something that I like to call meaning making or making sense of the things that they're experiencing. And so, you know, say a child tells their parent or another person that they're seeing ghosts or angels, maybe they have an imaginary friend when they're really young. If they don't have a context for that, they might feel crazy or scared, or maybe they told someone who wasn't safe. So this is another thing, because a lot of this is not socially acceptable, right? And that person may tell them, hey, don't tell anybody,
right?
Keep it a secret, or hey, you are crazy. Again, just, I believe you, this is real, and not having to keep it a secret, but also understanding who is safe to tell. And so finding that safe guardian, finding that safe friend, and, you know, kind of being that safe place where they can come to and share their experiences. I think that really is the greatest thing that anyone can give a psychic child. Another great thing about psychic kids, just in general, is that they're insanely imaginative. And they're also super, super sensitive. So there are things that I think parents can do, you know, maybe talk to a teacher if they're feeling very overwhelmed at school, because they are so receptive. A lot of psychic kids, if not all, are really, really empathic. So they pick up on energies and feelings and other people's emotions a lot more easily than, you know, than anybody else. And so
I cried all the time and I didn't know why I was crying. And I wasn't a sad person. I wasn't a sad child. I just didn't realize what I was picking up was other people's stuff, adults and kids.
Yeah. So one of the things that I share with parents to do with that situation is, so when you leave your house, imagine you're putting on your space suit. Okay. You can hear and talk to and experience life just like everybody else, but you imagine you've got that space suit on and you zip it up when you leave the house so that nothing comes in. You know, those energies kind of bounce off, and that helps with maybe feeling so overwhelmed. And then also having a creative outlet, I think, is super important. For kids to be able to write or draw or, you know, play an instrument, and sports too. It's just getting out that energy that they may have picked up, kind of letting it all go and letting it out. I've had kids who will draw what they see, which is really cool. And if it's scary, especially, it's a super helpful exercise to draw what you see. And then it's not so scary because there it is on a paper. Mm-hmm. What's it going to do on the paper, right? And now that you've drawn it, well, you did that. You know, you created that. So guess what? You can make it go away if you see it again.
Oh, I love that part too. I had someone who reached out, they booked a session with me, and I was like, similar to any session beforehand, I'll start to prepare. And I was like, I'm not really getting anything on this particular person. So I was a little confused, quite frankly. I was like, all right. And then when I started the call, it was actually for her child who she wanted to give them, they were a teenager, give them someone to talk to. So I just talked to them about their experiences and it was amazing, but I also could tap into the energy and just feel and remember what how I felt when I was younger, where it can be, like you said, such a lonely experience where you want to be able to talk to somebody. And so what are some things that parents themselves or adults that are taking care of psychic children can do for themselves too? Because I think there's part of like the support, right, that you want to have for kids and children. But then there's also some things that you should be able to do for yourself. And by the way, a lot of parents, if you have psychic kids, you're probably also on that spectrum too and experiencing it, you know, not always, especially if you've adopted, but yeah, ultimately it tends to be in our DNA, right?
It really does. So things that parents can do to support themselves, get it, find a community, find a like-minded community. And actually I'm in the process of kind of creating that right now, where parents can meet with one another and say, okay, this happened. What, you know, could you give some advice, that kind of thing? And also allow these psychic kids to meet each other so that they don't feel so alone, right?
Yeah. I love that because the parents can share their own experiences and get advice from each other because I don't have kids. I was one, right? And I experienced it, but I love that. And then also the kids having their own community too is awesome.
Yes. Yeah. So that's what I'm looking to create. And so that's going to be on board really soon. And that will just, again, open up communication and take that sense of loneliness out of the equation, right? And give more of a sense of power for both parents and kids. So, you know, if you're a parent and you're listening and you're like, I can't see what my kid's seeing. I can't hear. I can't, you know, I don't get any of this. This is crazy. Then, you know, join the crowd.
join the team.
Yeah, join the team. You'll find like-minded people who can both commiserate, you know, but also uplift and encourage.
Yeah. And I think just knowing A, you're not alone, B, that there are resources and options out there. And like you said, a community, but then also C, just also giving yourself a little bit of grace and knowing and understanding that it's new to you, but as long as you're just approaching it in love and that you're there to, like you said, say, I believe you and be there as a support system. I don't feel like, yes, there might be some other things you need in terms of support because it can be lonely out there. You're just like, where do I go? But at the end of the day, just giving again yourself that grace and knowing that you're doing the best you can, but at least you're recognizing that there's things that you can do and that you want to take the steps. But yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Grace is one of my favorite words because it is. This whole journey takes a lot of grace for ourselves and for one another. But yeah, I think you're spot on there.
Well, anything else, either for children or parents or about your own journey that you want to share?
You know, I think just kind of going back to that feeling of powerlessness, one of the biggest myths or misconceptions that I feel people get caught up in is being told that they're powerless. Okay. And this can happen in any community. And you know, it happens obviously in the religious community, but it happens in everywhere. For example, one of the myths that I believed for years was that I was powerless again to heal my own body, or that I was powerless to connect with and understand what my gifts actually were. You know, when it came to like healing my own body, I depended on doctors and medical procedures and medications. And while all of that certainly had its place and very much helped me heal, it was also a hindrance because I had willingly given over my own power. And this is a big one, my personal responsibility to other people. Okay. And there's an affirmation that I love, which goes, I'm willing to trade pain for peace. Okay. Sometimes we get so accustomed to or desensitized to the pain, right? Or the chaos or the whatever it is in our lives.
We become comfortable with it too. We don't want to let it go.
It becomes so comfortable. The fear of the unknown and of change can be so overwhelming that we don't want to change. We don't want to make steps. We don't want to take steps to, again, trade that pain for peace. But this is one of the ways that I take back my own power. And this is one of the things I teach others to do, is to speak it, into existence. Because when you speak it, you're actually changing the energy in and around you. And so when you do that, it's amazing how well it works. And then miracles actually happen.
For those out there listening, imagine how many thoughts in a day you have that you just are like, I'm tired, or I don't want to do this, or this, that, or the other. And I'm not saying just on the negative, like, but just how many thoughts you have in the day. And then what you just said, which is super powerful, and that is when you speak it into existence, because then you are actually moving it into the physical, you are making it into the tangible, you're creating that vibration, that frequency that just moves it through. So it becomes your thought and or your belief into the actual power of speaking it out, and that transforms.
Yeah, it does. Well, I don't know if you've heard of these experiments where they take two plants and one plant, they say all the, you know, a lot of kids do it in school. You say really nasty things to, and the other plant you say beautiful, wonderful things to. And it actually, the cellular structure completely changes, and the plant that was spoken to poorly will wither and die. Whereas the plant that's spoken to, they'll be given the same amount of sunlight, the same amount of water, everything is the same, the soil, all of that. But it's when we speak good, our words have power. Our words have so much power. And so, you know, you think about your own bodies, we're living, breathing cells, right? 70% or 90% if you're a kid, of our bodies are made of water. And so when we begin to speak those things to ourselves and to others, we're actually changing the molecular structure of our bodies and our brains and everything. And it's just, it's amazing to me. And I still get just, you know, mind blown by it.
No, it's very true. I did a study and an experiment when I was a kid on that. Although I didn't speak negatively, I did it with music. Snake plants and music, heavy metal, classical, and whatever. And it was amazing to see the difference of like how much the plant that experienced the classical music, which just like grew like by double, you know?
Amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Yeah, it is.
Well, awesome. I feel like I could talk to you all day long. So what else? Anything else you're feeling led to share about your experience, either as a child and a kid or as a practitioner? Any other tips?
Again, just that whole thing of, I believe you. I believe you. I believe you. Again, our words are powerful, right? And we use them to either build up or to destroy. And so when you're able to speak to a kid and say, hey, I believe you, get into a community, that's just, yeah, things can really blow up. And that's the other thing I've learned too, that when acceptance comes and people are ready to change, then miracles happen, and they happen in a big, big way.
You're living proof of that. That's amazing. So I want to ask you this before we end. What did Jesus look like to you?
Oh my goodness.
Was it like the typical, like Jesus, like you see in pictures? Because I've asked a few guests who have experienced him, so I just would love to hear from you.
Yes and no. You know, it's so hard to describe, because everything there was so different. Everything there was just so much more. So all of the images, yes, he looked like all of that, but also so much more. Because I feel like I wasn't even really seeing him with my eyes so much as I was connecting to him with my soul, with my spirit. And there was that, just, it honestly, I felt like the whole time I was with him that he had his arms around me and was hugging me and just loving on me and giving me this sense of, I will always be safe. I will always be loved. I will always be in that sense of grace, just a state of grace. I think that gets thrown around in religious communities, but it doesn't mean what people think it means,
right?
You know, to quote The Princess Bride, right? I do not think you know what it means.
Oh, I love that. Yeah.
But yeah, it was just, it was something that I will never forget, but something I don't think I could ever fully describe either.
Yeah. Jesus showed up for me in a big way one time. I've shared it on the show before, but I wouldn't say I didn't believe in him. I felt like he was a religious construct. Like he was just someone or something that, you know, was created to say he existed and now everybody fall in line. So for me, it was like, I was 50-50, quite frankly. I never really felt a connection. And very long story short, and you can listen to past episodes to hear what happened, but he showed up in a healing session. And since then, he's been very much a part of my journey, but he only shows up when you were, for me at least, when you were talking what that is, which is he wants to let everybody know truly that he is there. He is here to take the pain. And he, it's just such a loving, healing energy that just, it's very hard to explain.
Yeah, there's no judgment. There's literally none. That's not even a thing. That's not even a thing. It's just, it's not. And I love that you had that experience and that you can feel validated. And I feel validated in that shared experience as well. And that's one thing I want to thank you to, Nicole. Like, I've been a huge fan of A Psychic Story for a long time. And I think that even, you know, in still searching for answers and going, am I the only one out here? Your show has, you know, when you interview people and are, they share their stories, it helps others, your listeners, myself included, feel validated and affirmed that what they're feeling and experiencing is really more normal than what we're led to believe.
Well, thank you. That brings happy tears to me because that was literally what the, you know, my soul and my guides and angels were like, you need to do more of to help people. Mm-hmm. And I really want to thank you for saying that because that's all that it's about is to make sure that people do not feel alone. That is, if I've made one person, which sounds like at least you, then I've done my work. So amazing. How can the people reach you or how would you like them to get in touch with you?
Yeah. People can reach me on my website, which is www.themindbodymedium.com. They can also hit me up on Instagram or Facebook at The Mind Body Medium.
Wonderful. Well, thanks again. And I will include all this in the show notes plus more. And yeah, I just want to say thank you for all you do. And I'm really loving the fact that you're going in the direction of helping anyone that has a child, whether you're a parent, a teacher, you are a medical practitioner, whatever it is, to just help support the next generation of souls and people that are advancing in this and through their own soul journey. I think it's extremely important work, and I want to thank you for your help there.
Thank you, Nicole. I appreciate you.
Thank you for listening to A Psychic Story. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode and join the conversation on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. All episodes are free on your favorite podcast player or at apsychicstory.com. Have a question? Is there a topic you'd like to hear more about? Or have a suggestion for a future guest? Send an email to contact@apsychicstory.com or leave a voicemail message at 1-800-880-1881. We'd love to hear from you and you may even be featured on a future episode. If you're interested in booking a session with me, you can do that directly on the website. And if you want to hear even more content hosted by yours truly, check out my other show, Supernatural Matters. Reminder that you are automatically entered to win either a free 20-minute intuitive or energy healing session with me if you leave 5 stars along with a positive review. Currently, reviews can be left on Apple, Stitcher, Podchaser, or CastBox podcast players. Don't forget to email contact@apsychicstory.com when you do, because it allows me to get in touch with you if your name is pulled in the drawing. Your name stays in until you win.